We noted last time that the Ramah quotes a machlokas between the Chumash Hadeshin and the Maril as to the status of the Hefsek Tara performed after the Tzibur Damas Maril. In the context of that discussion, the Shach has a puzzling presentation of a comment from the Sefer Agur. The Agur quotes the Maril that was cited in the Ramah, and the Shach has the following citation, the end of Sivkat and Dalit. Even if you're megal on the shayla to allow a hefsek tara performed after the tzibur damas marav, that's only up to 24 hours. V'im kein kishayom gadol, so on a long summer day, kolkach chashvin on yom v'layla shavim, then we would view the day and the night as equal. What does the Shach mean? The Dago Mervava doesn't understand the Shach, but he seems to understand the Shach as follows. The Dago Mervava writes Dvar of Temuim. He understands the Shach to mean that, let's say, on a summer day, a Hefsek Tara performed after 6 p.m. would be invalid. Independent of when the Tzibur Damas Maariv, a Hefsek Tara could only be performed up to the average time of Shkia. So if the average time of Shkia on a 12-hour day is 6 p.m., then a Hefsek Tara in the summer could not be performed after 6 p.m. That seems to be how the Dago Mervava understands the Shach, which is justifiably perplexing. Why would we say such a thing? And the Dago Mervava says that can't be correct to halacha. It must be Kavdal Shos really means Shos Manios, and then the Agur is not saying any Chiddush. It just means that you can perform a Hefsek Tara until Shkia. However, the Shach's presentation sounds like, to the Dago Mervava, he's saying that you couldn't perform a Hefsek Tara on a longer summer day past the average time that Shkia would occur in the course of the year. If you look in the Atzei Levona on this side of the Shulchan Aruch, he didn't understand the Shach that way. Sounds like he understood on the Shach that this reference to Kavdal shows is that you cheshbin, or Yom Gadol, you cheshbin the Sof Man Hefsek Tara based on the Sof Hayom of the previous day. So that might be off by a minute. If Shkia yesterday was a minute earlier than today, then you'd have to perform the Hefsek Tara by yesterday's Shkia. If you look at the Agur inside, there's no indication whatsoever of the more radical interpretation here that the Dago Mervava understands the Shach is attributing to the Agur. The Lashon of the Agur himself, this is Elef Shin Ayin Zayin, Simon Elef Shin Ayin Zayin. The Agur writes as follows, Va'afila be'er Shabbos, achrei tefilas arvis v'kabbalah Shabbos. So even if we're talking about a Friday evening, after the Tzibur Redi Davin Marav in Kabbalah Shabbos, Kehi Tosefes lo shaycha le'inyan nida v'tzarech kabdal shos. That Tosefes Shabbos is of no relevance to the calculation of a Nida, and the calculation of a Nida is only connected to the regular day, the regular Zman HaYom. Kavdal Shos presumably meaning 24 hours since the last Shkia, regular 24-hour day from Shkia to Shkia in this presentation. So all the Agur means to say then is that Kabbalah Shabbos is not Kaveh, like that position of the Agur's position, Maril's position, and a Hefsek Tara performed after Kabbalah Shabbos, after Arvis, as long as it's the lighter side, would be valid. So whatever the intention of the Shach was, whether the Dago Mervava is correct in his reading of the Shach's reading of the Agur inside is definitely not saying something so radical, and the Halacha, no one says that. So whatever the intention was, bottom line, we have the Machlokas Tumas Hadesh and the Maril about what happens with the Hefsek Tara performed after the Tzibur Damas Maariv. So the Ramah says, Lichachili should be Machmir, but the Eved, you could be Mako. But no one accepts such a Chiddush that you couldn't perform a Hefsek Tara after the average time for Shkia on an average day.
Did
the Shach
say that on the Kula?
The Shach. He only presents a Lechumra. He only presents a Lechomer. Again, even if that's the intention of the Shach, which is it's a very terse line, so it's unclear exactly what the intention was. but he only presents it le chumra. Okay, let's move on to Sif Gimel. The Yomsha Posekas Milira Subodekas Atma Kamur Tilbashkala Kabadukla Sheimba Kesem Ubalaila Tasim Stinam Abadukim Miksamim Umiyom Machras Taskalis Prashivanakir. So the Mechaber doesn't tell us about any preparation per se for the Hefsek Tara. The Ramah adds, Umina Kashahu Kisha Isha Posekas Pitara Shetirchats Vilaveshis Levan. So it's appropriate in Mina Kasher that prior to performing a Hefsek Tara, a woman should wash herself, wash at least the area where she's going to perform the Hefsek Tara. Amdam in lo refsa rak paneh hashamaz d'day v'kach. So it sounds like l'chachila, she should wash even more. B'di'eved, it's sufficient to wash the local area where she's going to perform the Hefsek Tara, the wash osa makom. This is based on a Mordechai b'shem harokeach. What's the reason for this washing? What's the reason for the rechitza? Look in the Torah Sashlamim, Sif Katan Vav. Writes the Torah Sashlamim, Sif Katan Vav. Hatam b'chol zeh, de'ulay nislachlech gufa o chaluka be'eza kesem. So maybe her body is a little bit stained by a kesem. V'timtza b'soch hashiv nekiyim. And then that kesem is going to appear during the shiv nekiyim. Da'az ein tolin. K'mevur b'samach se'if yod. So we have less of a threshold to accept kulas k'samim during shiv nekiyim. Ulefizet, in b'di evit safar shiv nekiyim b'lo rechisa levisha klal, v'achar kach bodekes chaluka v'gufa v'lenim soshim kesem, muteres lipo. So the Torah Sashlamim's presentation is that essentially the purpose of this washing is to her benefit, that if she's not going to wash herself, there's a possibility that maybe there's going to be some residual dam that's going to reappear, or that she'll only notice during shiv nekiyim. And that residual dam could pose more of a problem during Shiv Nekiyim if you think that it came out at that time and not earlier. And therefore, it's appropriate to do Rechitza. But if she didn't do it, since anyway it's for her benefit, it's not Ma'akev, Ach L'chachila Ein L'shainas HaMinag. V'lispor Shiv Nekiyim B'lo Rechitza L'visha Slavonim Imlo Shehi B'derech K'mo Shemesai Marav. So the Torah Sashlamim, he groups together Levan, which we'll talk about a little bit later, and Rechitza as being for her benefit, so she's not going to wash out the area before the Hefsek Tara. There's a possibility of some residual dam being there and only being noticed during Shiv Nekiyim, which would be to her detriment. Then you all understand that without a Rechitza Bidi Eved, she could still continue to count, because anyway, the whole purpose of the Rechitza is litovasa. Rabbi Forst, in his presentation, presents this as a contrary position in Achronim to the Torah Sashlamim, a contrary position that would view the necessity of rechitza as not being to her benefit, but to prevent a potential kula. Rather than preventing a potential chumrah, it prevents a potential kula. I think if you read the sources that he quotes carefully, that's not really what they're saying. So he quotes the Sidrei Tara Sifkatan Yud Beis and the Atzei Lavona on the side of the Shulchan Aruch over here, essentially citing the Sidrei Tara. So you can look at either one. Sidrei Tara Sifkatan Yud Beis, writes as follows. The Atzei Lavona is on the side of the page. Or maybe in the fancy of Shulchan Aruch, it's on the bottom of the page. So I'm going to read from the Sidrei Tara. Find it. V'atam b'chol zeh, why do you need rechitza? De'ulai nislach leit gufo chaluka beisa kesa mitim satoch zay nekim da'az ein tolin k'mavur b'samuk b'sif yud lasha min chasitzchak, says quoting the Torah Sashlama. Okay. V'sfas yesurhu, says the Sidri Tara, that formulation of the Torah Sashlamim is somewhat superfluous. The kol shekein im haya hadin de tolebo, if it was the case that you could rely on kulas ksamim during shivanakiyim, tzricha lechatchila shatirchas v'tilbo shlevanim, then you definitely lechachila would have to wash. Because maybe if you don't wash, if you don't wash that area before the Hefsek Tara, you're going to see Dam during the Shivanikiyam. And since you didn't wash the area before the Hefsek Tara, then you'll say, oh, this Dam, maybe it was from before the Hefsek Tara, and therefore it's not new Dam, and it's not going to pose a problem. It is the case that we're not going to rely on kulas ksamim during the Shiva Nikiyim if you see a kesem on, let's say, on her beget, on Levan. But even if you were to rely on kulas ksamim during Shiva Nikiyim, you'd still require a rechitza, because then you would end up with the opposite problem. A woman may see dam during the Shiva Nikiyim. Not having washed herself before, she'll say, oh, I'm attributing this dam to beforehand, and therefore the dam doesn't pose a problem, when in reality the dam is of later origin, and the dam does pose a problem. So, Al Hatzad, he's saying, Al Hatzad, that you would have kulas ksamim, you still have to do rechitza anyway. So that's not necessarily saying that that is the reason, but he's saying even if that was the case, that reason would apply. Even if it was the case that you would rely on kulas ksamim, then you'd have to do rechitza for a different reason. That happens to be there are cases where we do rely on kulas ksamim during Shiva Nikiyim. So I guess in such a case, that alitzad reason may apply as well. But in the presentation of the Sidri Tara and the Atzei Levona, it's not arguing on the Torah Shlamim per se Lidina. We're just saying the Torah Shlamim, even if you weren't to be mafmir on kulas ksamim during Shiva Nikiyim, you still have a reason to require the washing ahead of time. Rabbi Morgenstern, in the Piskei Das, Perek Yud Beis, Arah Gimel, Kosim Rav Yashiv, some people wanted to say, well, since in principle the rechitz is only litavasa, it's only for a benefit, so if a woman, lichachila, doesn't want to wash herself, then we should give her that right. So Rav Yashiv opposed that because this is the minug, and we don't change the minug, even if the minug is litovasa. He quotes also from Rav Yashiv that the lichachila minug is to wash within a half hour of the Hefsek Tara, but if that's impractical or difficult, you can wash even earlier. And fundamentally, as Rabbi Forth points out, one presumably could wash anytime after she stops seeing dam. You know, the purpose is to ensure that there's no residual dam. So, in theory, any time after a woman stops seeing dam, even if it's not yet when she's about to do the Hefsek Tara, that rechitza would be acceptable. Chazon Ish raises another issue in the beginning of Siman Pei Aleph. Chazon Ish thinks that a woman shouldn't do her hefsik immediately after the washing, because we're concerned that maybe the washing is going to mask or cover up, or literally wash away, the fact that she's still seeing Dom, and it's not going to be a real honest hefsik. If she washes at the area and then a minute later performs the hefsik tara, so maybe that's not an accurate representation of the fact that she stopped seeing Dom, because she just washed away the Dom a minute ago, and maybe she waits another 10 minutes, there'll be more Dom. But that's not an accurate sample if she just washed at the area immediately before. So the Chazon Ish is talking about in the context of a woman who has a condition that's causing her to bleed. But he writes in the beginning of Siman Pei Aleph that in that case where she has some continual bleeding, she's going to stop for a minute, the bleeding will stop for a minute, she's going to wash it away, and then she's going to do a hefsek tara. But that doesn't necessarily establish that it's no longer Mayana Pasuach. So his lashon is, Ein rechitza bedika lerega b'chipazon malaklum. If you're just going to do a rechitza and then an immediate bedika in a rush without giving it a chance to work, so to speak, to see whether there's any dam that's still coming out, that's not a valid hefsek tara. So the Chazon Ish doesn't give an amount of time to wait, but he says it shouldn't be done immediately after the rechitza. There should be some break between the washing out of the area and the performance of the hefsek tara. Rabbi Morgenstern quotes from Ovil Yashiv, an additional consideration, maybe we should be worried that the minute after she performs the hefsek tara, there's going to be a little bit of dam that comes out. Sorry, the minute after she washes, or as she's washing, there's going to be dam that comes out. And that dam is going to be washed away by the water that she's rinsing herself with. Just, she's rinsing herself. Then after she rinses herself, there'll be a little bit of dam. Or as she's rinsing herself, there's a little bit of dam that comes out. That dam will be washed away by the rinsing. And then she'll perform a hefsek tara a second later. And that hefsek tara isn't going to be an accurate read because there's really dam coming out that was just washed away. That's a similar consideration to what the Chazon Ish raises. So again, the Chazon Ish doesn't tell you how long to wait. Rav Moshe in Chelei Beis Siman Ayin Aleph, Chelei Beis Siman Ayin Aleph recommends waiting 15 minutes between the washing and the hefsek. Rabbi Morgenstern quotes the same from Ovil Yashiv to wait 15 minutes. Rabbi Karp has to wait 10 minutes. Rabbi Willick suggests that you should lechachila wait a few minutes, maybe 5 minutes, but b'di'eved, if that's impossible, if you're holding mashkia, and it's now or never, then ikar adin is law, even if you don't wait at all, the hefsek tara would be valid if you don't have a choice. So the recommendation of poskim in general is to wait a little bit, somewhere between 5 and 15 minutes after washing the area before performing a hefsek tara. But this concern isn't really expressed in poskim. Doesn't seem to be expressed by poskim earlier than the Chazon Ish, earlier than the last couple of generations. So at least Rabbi Willick feels that mikra din, if circumstances don't allow for any waiting, it would be a kasher hefsek tara, even if you didn't wait. But lechachila, you should wait at least a little. Yeah.
If it comes to not waiting between for not taking a shower and still recommended to take the shower and not wait, meaning there's 10 minutes before shkia, now she could either take the shower and have to do hefsek tara immediately, or
so you don't. As far as requirement of rechitza, if you're pressed, so it's sufficient to just rinse out the area. You don't have to take a shower.
So it's still where you won't have
so if it's a situation where you can't do any rechitza, so then Poskim say if you can't do any rechitza, at least you should wipe the area before you do hasatara. So if you, so that should that shouldn't take too long, and then do the hasatara after that. But every kula is a chumra in a sense, because some chumras could end up pushing you past shkia, which would be worse. And so you have to, that's why the recommendation of, Rabbi Willig and others to, if you're able to, do a hafzik in the morning, especially on a short day, so that you can rely on that b'di'evit if you're not able to do a hafzik in the lechachila time later on, is probably a good idea. Let's talk now a little bit about the Moch Dachuk. The Beis Yosef writes, V'lima Yakru Divrei HaRashba. I have a particular fondness for the Rashba. Shekas b'Torah sabayis haKatzar leolam yilamid adam esaf beso shetayisha bodekes yom hefsek tara asad b'moch dachuk. The Rashba recommended, based on the Gemara's rhetorical line, chiyada beninet ben kol ben hashmashos, that is really possible to ensure that you have a bedika the entire Ben Hashmashos to make sure that there's not going to be any dam coming out. So the Rashba says it's a good idea that a woman should be bodekes b'moch dachuk v'shiyehe sham kol Ben Hashmashos. In a chanami, maybe there is a way to have yadav bein shineh kol ragleh kol Ben Hashmashos. Maybe there is a way of ensuring that the area is watched during the entire period of Hashmashos is to make sure that no dam comes out during that period of time. So you could have your dam menachas v'nei kol ben Hashmashos with a machdach. Shezua bedika motziyam yidei kol safek. So that kind of a bedika of a machdachuk absolves us of any possible suffix. And the Beis Yosef wonders why the Torah makes no mention of this recommendation of the Rashba. But he thinks that this is correct lechatchila. So we discussed earlier the psak of the Mechaber that this is going to be le'ikuva on a riyah of Yom Risha. Sif Beis. When Sif Aleph, the Mechaber writes that this is a lechachila in any situation of a hefsek tara. The Mechaber writes, Olam yilamid adam, the Ramah adds lechachmer lechachila, b'sof beiso, shidehe bodekes b'yom hefsek tara b'moch dachuk, v'shiyehe sham kol ben hashmashos, shizua b'dika motziyam b'day kol safek. So that's the Mechaber based on the Rashba. The recommendation is lechachila to have a moch dachuk kol ben hashmashos, every situation of a hefsek tara. Yerach HaShulchan and Os Yitzayin is bothered why the Mechaber is so machmir over here. He calls this a chumra al chumra. That number one, we're machmir anyway to lechachila have a bedika samach ben hashmashos. We're machmir to have the hefsek tara later in the day. Even though the Ikar Adin, we believe that a hefsek tara early in the day is going to be kasher. And then on top of that, the Mechaber piles another chumrah of having this moch dachuk. What does the Ramah add by saying lahachmir lechachila? It's clear we're talking about a chumrah. So he says maybe the Ramah is adding that a husband shouldn't insist that this is me'ikir adin. So you should make it clear that this is only a chumrah. Because if a woman were to think that this is me'ikr hadin, so then if she doesn't perform a mechtachuk, it doesn't insert a mechtachuk, she'll think that the hefsek tahor is invalid, and she's going to delay the start of her shivna kiyum. So the Aruch HaShulchan speculates that maybe this added stress of the Rama, that this is lahaf milchachila, is to emphasize this is indeed only a chumrah, and women shouldn't be under the impression that it's me'ikr hadin, that if she didn't do it, it would invalidate the hefsek and prevent her from beginning shiva nikiyam on the next day. The Aruch HaShulchan says, after all, it sounds like this presentation in the Beis Yosef is that this was a minhag. No one ever claimed that it's a me'ikr hadin. The minhag developed. That's what's reflected, but there has to be proper perspective that it's, at the end of the day, only a chumrah. Given that fact that the only situation in which a melchdachuk is necessary mikra din, according to the Mechaber, is Riyav Yom Rishon, and even there the Ramah says b'di'eved melchdachuk is in ma'akev. Now, given that presentation, poskim are of different orientations, but poskim will sometimes, or maybe more than sometimes, have allowances to dispense with a mechtachuk where it creates discomfort or is otherwise difficult for a woman. In the extreme, Rabbi Neuberger told me that he had reliable evidence that Rabbi Aaron Soloveitchik, as a matter of course, would advise women that there's no need to perform to insert a mechtachuk at all. Rabbi Neuberger himself told me that his general orientation is that if you have a postpartum woman where a mechtachuk is going to irritate, so then he'll tell such a woman l'chachila to avoid a mechtachuk for a number of months postpartum. Rabbi Wulig tends to be extremely makel on a mechtachuk where there's any need not to, or any irritation or any discomfort, partially because if you look in the Chavis Das, Simen Kuf Tzadi Aleph, the end of Sivkat and Ches, Chavis Das, Simen Kuf Tzadi Aleph, the end of Sivkat and Ches, Chavis Das writes that for Mochdachuk to be effective, it has to be inserted very far in, basically Ad Mokim Shasham Mishdash up to the Pesach HaRechem, because otherwise, if the purpose of Mochdachuk as a kind of super bedika is to ensure that there's no way any dam is going to come out during that entire period, then if it's not inserted that far in, you haven't ensured that there's no possibility of any dam coming out. So practically speaking, no one inserts a mechtachuk that far. So if that's the case, then what we're doing is not really what's me'ikr hadin a mechtachuk. So if it's not really an authentic mechtachuk anyway, then there's more grounds to be lenient where there is a necessity. We discussed previously the Shachin Sivkat and Vav, who writes that the nafkamina of Re'iya B'yom Rishon B'zman Hazeh, the nafkamina of a day one Re'iya where you perform a Hefsek Tahor on day one, given that we always count 5 days anyway, is a situation of a woman who is soseres her shiva nikiyam. So that's definitely the case that you call that a re'iyas yom echad if a woman is soseres her shiva nikiyam by having a regular full-fledged re'iyah. So she's counted her shiva nikiyam. In the middle of shiva nikiyam, she has a full-fledged re'iyah, and that re'iyah, as soon as it starts, it stops. So that would be a re'iyas yom rishon, where it's relevant to talk about a hefsek tahora B'yom Rishon L'Riyasa, and nafkamina as to whether a hefsek performed b'shachris would be valid. The other extreme, the shach, is clear that if it's only a kesem, then a kesem that's soser the shivanakiyim is not considered a Riyas Yom Echad. So a real Riyah is definitely Riyas Yom Echad. A kesem isn't a Riyas Yom Echad. What about if a woman is soser her shivanakiyim by having a little dam on her bedikavah? Right? She performs a bedikah, it's not a good bedikah, it's not clean, there's a little bit of dam, so it's not a kesem, but it's not a full-fledged ri'iyah. Where does that fit as far as defining it as yom echad or not? So generally speaking, we discussed before, maybe we'll discuss more going on, that there, we're more machmir on a eid bedikah than we are in a kesem. You don't generally have kulas ksamim on a eid bedikah, according to many, that may be the raisa. But where does that fall as far as this calculation of the shach? So Rabbi Karp writes, Chelik Beis, page Tzadi Beis, Chelik Beis, page Tzadi Beis, that if you have a stained bedika cloth during Shiva Nikiyam, it's very difficult to say that that would require a melchdachuk nikar adin according to the Mechaber. Because the whole reason for the chumrah of Yom Echad, the reason that we're machmir on Rias Yom Echad, is because it's huchzak mayana pasuach. She's muchzakas to see dam. And there's a higher threshold that's required to be mosi her from that chazakah. So that makes sense if a woman is having a regular full-fledged riyah. But to say that a woman who has a stain, who sees dam on her bedika cloth, is huksaka mayana pasuach, is very difficult in svara. So to require a mochdok in that situation, Mikra Adin, Rabbi Karp says, is definitely not true. And he quotes that from Rav Yashiv as well. He doesn't address explicitly there what he would say about a bedika shakras. It was logically, if it's not a Rias Yom Rishon, then you should be mekel on bedika shakras as well. So that he doesn't talk about explicitly. Rav Avadia does. Rav Avadia, page Reish Peifes, assumes that if it's only a bedika's aid that yields a problematic bedika be'emsa shiv nekiyim, then that's not considered a riyas yom echad even as far as a hefek tara b'shachris. It's reasonable, Rabbi Karp may assume that as well, he just doesn't spell it out. Rabbi Willig assumes that way. And Rabbi Forst in the text seems to be machmir. Vadi Shulchan seems to be machmir. Although Rabbi Forrest in the footnote quotes Rav Avadia and the Makila. Yeah?
Can you explain why is there a kula here? If you see dam, should that be much of that? It's a hefsek and shiv nekiyim.
No, you definitely need a hefsek tara. The question is, does it in the din of Riyah B'Yom Rishon, where we're machmir, to require a hefsek min ha-mincha l'mala? Right?
The reason why you don't.
What's the reason? Because the whole reason that we're machmir by Yom Rishon is because Huchzak Mayana Pasuach. Huchzak Mayana Pasuach is where you had a normal Riyah. She's seeing Dam, you have a flow. So there she's Muchzakas that she's seeing Dam. To say that a woman who just has a tiny speck on a bedika cloth is Huchzak Mayana Pasuach is very difficult to understand why we say such a thing. Right? I'm sorry?
Did
I
write
Huchzak Pasuach? I think it's in the Biurim. I don't remember what the Ramasco is. Here on Sif Beis. Okay, what other thing that's discussed in the contemporary poskim or the contemporary svarim is that some are machmir that a hefsek tara has to be cleaner than a regular bedika. So even if on a regular bedika you'd be makel on a yellow or brown, some poskim, Rabbi Karp has like this, Rabbi Forrest has a possibility, and neither of them really source this out or quote an earlier source. But they have, and I think you find this a lot among poskim, the suggestion that even a shade of mara that would be acceptable on a bedika cloth or a shiv nekiyim, maybe we're more machmir on a hefsek tara. Rabbi Willig is not of that position, but you do have that in some of the contemporary svarim. If you, when you insert a mochdachuk, how long does it need to be inserted for? So again, the lashon is shehei sham kol bein hashmashos. What does kol bein hashmashos mean? So Moshe in the printed tshuva in Chelek Beis, I think it was Ayin Tes, was it Ayin Zayin or Ayin Tes? In the tshuva about Zmanei Hayom. So there he assumes that under normal circumstances, if we assume a 50-minute seis in New York, then the Mochtachu should be inserted from a minute before Shkia and should stay there until 50 minutes after Shkia. In one of his tshuvas to Rabbi Eider, I think it's Kav Vav or Kav Zayin, he writes that if that's uncomfortable, then you could be makel to just have it there up to 15 minutes in New York. Yeah.
Where's
15
from?
15 is a little bit past the first Shkia of Rabbeinu Tam, and almost the Tzeis of the Gonim. Sorry? It's right. It's past Ramosha's 9 minutes, and it's a little bit before the what says would be according to the God. Rabbi Morgan's request: Well, Vayashiv the Neretz Yisrael, you should be machmir for 30 minutes. Even if you're machmir for longer Motzei Shabbos, you don't have to be more machmir than that. But you shouldn't be less machmir than that. So you have a range among the Sfarim as to what. Most assume that even if you're machmir for 72 minutes or beyond the Motzei Shabbos, that you don't do machmir that here. And where the lower threshold is, you have a range from 15 minutes, 25 minutes, 30 minutes, up to 50 minutes. Okay. The other requirement that the Mechaber referenced here in Seif Gimel is what we refer to as Levanim. The Mechaber doesn't write Levanim. The Mechaber writes, Tilbash Chaluk HaBadukla Sheim Bokesem, that once a woman finishes her Hasek Tara and now begins the Shiv Nekiyim, she should wear clean clothing that don't have any stains. The Ramah writes, Leveshes Levonim. The lav dafka, not enough to have clean clothing, it has to be white clothing. Where does this come from? This is the Mordechai B'Shem HaRokeach. He writes as follows, Tilbash Chaluk Lavan. So women should wear a white garment. She'im Tira Od She'yiyah Nikar B'Chaluka. That if she sees any more dam, it'll be apparent on her clothing. So if she wears white clothing, then it'll be easy to tell whether any dam comes out. So the requirement of Levanim for the Mordechai B'Shem HaRokeach is it should have, you should be able to tell easily whether there's any dam coming out. Rabbi Carr points out, Pesh Kuf Yugimel, that if you look in the Rokeach doesn't actually say this, but the Sefer Truma does. So it's not really the Mordechai B'Shem HaRokeach, even though the Mordechai quotes HaRokeach, it's really the Sefer Truma. Simon Samaches. Be that as it may. Look here in the Torah Sashlamim. Torah Sashlamim Sef Kazim Ches writes, V'gam Tzarech Lios B'inyin Shakes HaNikar Bo Ma She'enkein Cholot Tzavua. That the Ramah says, Bidi Eved, if you don't have access to Levanim, you just have to make sure that it's clean. So Torah Sashlamim says, it has to be in such a way that you could tell if there's a kesem that comes out onto the beged. So Torah Sashlamim says it seems to be middle ground, so lichachil, according to the Ramah, we're Levanim. If you're not going to be able to wear Levanim, then at least wear something that's not not an extreme color, some light color, so that you'd be able to tell if there's a kesem. So if you don't have access to levanim, at least wear something light or a lighter shade. Michael.
What's the shifan? What color is the shifan referring to when it says you wear the thing in garments?
Any color.
If it's a tzvona, then don't be
what?
Sad. If it's a colored garment, then
right.
you don't have dinim ksava.
Okay.
So what would be the purpose of wearing a clean garment?
The purpose would be if you have more than a gris. I'm sorry, no. So you're saying there's no the first. I'm sorry. The purpose would be if you have a real re'ia. It's even on tzivonim, if you start having a real flow, we're not going to be meichel just because it's on tzivonim.
I always said a lighter shade of underwear. Bigdei tzivonim. I thought we said most people would say it's still totally mutter.
That's still called tzivonim. Correct. It's still called tzivonim, but here the issue isn't just kulas ksamim. The issue is knowing if there's a new flow. That would be part of it also. So if you have, that's what I was saying to Michael. If you have a new flow, then tzivonim aren't going to help you. If you look in the Gaon here, the Gaon Sifkat Yud references the Gemara in Shabbos, the Talmud Echa Gemara, Tana Ve'elio, that had the lashon of Yimei Libu Nayach. So the Gaon seems to say that lashon of Yimei Libu Nayach, that terminology, that phraseology, is based on the wearing of levanim during Shiva Nikiyah. Yeah.
Or is there enough? You only have a dark colored clothing. What do you do?
So then you have a choice. So that's what the Ramah writes, that if Torah Shlom is saying that even according to the Ramban, if you have a situation, you should at least try to have lighter clothing.
He wouldn't say that it's not sosir,
but I don't think he would say that it's sosir, or that it prevents you from counting Shiva Nikiyim. Now, the Mechaber's lack of reference to Levanim and just begun in the Kiyim is reflected in many Rishonim. Rabbi Karp points out the Maaseh Vitri has like that. And other Rishonim, that the Iker is that it should be clean, not necessarily Levanim. He points out in the Kitzer, Hilchos Nida the Rush, the very end of the Rush Anida, he just writes Naki. In the Rush in Psakim, he writes that Nagu to wear a Chaluk Lavan. So that's reflective of Minag. In the Iker Adin, the requirement is to wear something Naki. And then the minhag developed to wear dafka levanim. There are some Rishonim that seem to indicate that failure to wear begadim levanim would prevent the Shiva Nikiyim from starting even le'ikuva. The Mishmeres Satara, page Kuftes Vav, quotes an Orchas Chaim that way. And the Meiri writes like that in Brachos Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph. The Meiri writes, so if a woman doesn't start wearing levanim until the first morning of Shiva Nikiyim, minag benos Yisrael sheyom levisha sachalok bechlal yemei atoma. So the minag was, they would not start counting the Shiva Nikiyim that day. The ena maschelos lindo Shiva Nikiyim ad halayla sheyom levisha sachalok unidon etzol anashem bimei hefsek lechalula bimei atoma. The Meiri reports, the minhag was, that if a woman would fail to wear levanim, to start wearing levanim the evening of her hefsek tara, and she only started wearing levanim the next morning, then she couldn't start counting Shiva Nikiyim until the following morning. Because the minhag was to view the day that she starts wearing levanim as an extension of the hefsek tara, and only start counting Shiva Nikiyim the next day. So we don't assume like that lalacha, but there is such a opinion and such a practice quoted in Rishonim. Chachmas Adam writes, Simen Kuf Yud Zayin Oschas, Simen Kuf Yud Zayin Oschas in the Chachmas Adam, V'im Pasha V'lo Lavsha B'gadim Levanim Ro'oi L'kansa. That if a woman deliberately doesn't wear begadim levanim, the Ramah is talking about a case where she's on the road and she doesn't have access, so that's due to circumstances beyond her control. Chachma Sadam writes, if a woman deliberately doesn't wear levanim, we should consent her. What does that mean to consent her? I charge her $100. So the Badi Shulchan, Sifkata Num Gimel, says, oh, it must mean we consent her that those days don't count towards the Shiva Nikiyam. And she has to start counting Shiva Nikiyam again. And he writes in the Tziyunim, Peivav, well, why should that be? That's not just consenting her, that's consenting him too. So why should we punish the husband because the wife was Poshaya? Rabbi Willig points out, if you look at the Chachmas Adam carefully, that's not what he means. The Chachmas Adam here in Kuf Yud Zayin is Mitzayin. He cross-references what he writes earlier in Kuf Yud Gimel. And he writes in Kuf Yud Gimel Os Mem, pretty explicitly, that the knas is that we're not going to let her rely on kulas ksamim if she's wearing begadim sivonim bipshia. There's a woman supposed to wear levanim during the Shiva Nikiyam. She's poshas and she wears sivonim. And then she has a kesem on the sivonim that, normally speaking, would allow us to invoke kulas ksamim. So we'll consent her that we're not going to be makel on kulas ksam. Even the Chachma Sadin there says that if she can prove b'tvias ayin that this particular kesem was there before and she recognized it as being an old stain, so then you could be makel. But it's clear that's what the knas of the Chachma Sadin is, not to consent her to delay the start of Shiva Nikiyam, but to consent her that she wouldn't have the benefit of kulas tzivonim if she wears tzivonim bipshia.
And a white garment, there is kulas
ksamim? On a white garment, well, the kulas ksamim of pachas mikigris. So we'll talk about whether you have kulas ksamim during Shiva Nikiyam during the first 3 days. But where kulas ksamim would be relevant?
It would not be relevant because she wore bigdei tzivonim.
Right. If she wore bigdei tzivonim against the din, against the minog, then the Chachmas Adam says, we don't necessarily assume like the Chachmas Adam lahalacha, but even the Chachmas Adam's kavanah there is that if she wears tzivonim against the minog, then we're going to constant her not to allow her to rely on whatever kulas ksamim she would be marviach because she's wearing tzivonim. Yeah.
It doesn't really answer the Badei Shulchan's question, though, right? You're still being kind to the husband.
Well, not really, because it's only a situation. No. In a case, if we tell her you have to delay your Shiva Nikiyam, then that's the husband's suffering from that also. If it's that you can't be makel on the kulak samim on the Begad Tzavot, well, she shouldn't have been wearing the Begad Tzavot to begin with, meaning it's no worse than had she been wearing Levanim, which is what she should have been. So I wouldn't view that as a knas on the husband.
I thought I was saying even Pavos Mikashir on the night,
I don't think he's saying that. I think he's just saying on Savonim. If she's wearing Savonim, which she shouldn't be wearing, then
she had Pavos Mikashir on those
Savonim. No, I think he's talking about if you have the Yosim Mikashir but on Savonim, me Yosim Mikigris. Look again, it's Os Mem in Kuf Yud Gimel.
Thank you.
That's what I thought he meant. You can look at it, maybe it's not explicit. I assumed he's only talking about the Kula and Savona. You can take a look, tell me if you disagree. Okay. In addition to Begadim Levanim, or Begadim Nikiyam, the Mechaber the Ramah reference Sedinim as well. The Mechaber writes, V'alayla tasim Sedinim habedukim iksamim. A woman at night should wear clean, or use clean sheets. And the Ramah writes, I'm sorry. Right, so the Mechaber writes that women should use clean sheets. The Ramah here does not say white sheets. So Mechaber says clean sheets. The Ramah doesn't add white sheets. The Mechaber said clean clothing. The Ramah adds white clothing. The Mechaber says clean sheets. The Ramah doesn't add white sheets. If you look in the Ramah in Hilchos Tisha B'Av and Hilchos Avelos, the Ramah in both of those places does mention white sheets. The Or Zeru has white sheets, Chelek Aleph, Simen, Shim, Mem Aleph, and this was the Minog, Yisrael, of using white sheets. Now, Rav Ozner writes, here, Os Gimel, Shir Sheva Levi, where Rav Ozner is quoted as saying, that fundamentally, the reason for the Minog of having white sheets or clean sheets was because in the days of old, a woman wouldn't wear pajamas or tight undergarments to sleep, so that if any dam would come out, it would fall on a sheet. But given that Me'ikar Adin, the real reason for Levanim, the importance of Levanim is on the beged that's Mehudak Lebesara, it's on the garment that's going to most immediately catch any dam coming out. So nowadays, women aren't, women go to sleep, they're wearing something between them and the sheet, so the requirement of having white or clean sheets is not as critical. So Me'ikar Adin, he says it's not really necessary, but Mitzad Minhag Yisrael, you should still use white sheets. So quotes Rabbi Morgan from B'Shem Rav Yashiv, that you shouldn't be mekel, even though the reason doesn't apply anymore, because that was Minhag Yisrael. Ramosha Tshuva Kavzayin to Rabbi Eider has a different cheshbon. It sounds like fundamentally Ramosha would agree that there's no need to be machmir on white sheets anymore, but we're not really sure that her begadim are sufficiently mehudakim, so you should have white sheets anyway. Rabbi Forst points out, page 214, if you look in Lashon HaMordechai, Lashon HaMordechai writes, Sedinim Levanim O Nikiyim. So it sounds like either or. If they're clean, it doesn't have to be white. So he thinks that's another Svar or Tzad L'Hakel, if you're going to be Mekel on sheets. Rabbi Willer thinks that L'Chachila, you shouldn't use white sheets anymore, even during Shiva Nikiyim, even because once the Me'ikar Din consideration is no longer in effect, you don't need it anymore because a woman wears begadim mehudakim to sleep. So then it's a chumrasi zekula because you're going to use white sheets, the mei taras as well. And then you're going to have problems if you ever see dam on the sheet. So since the whole reason doesn't really apply anymore, he thinks that there's no need to be mafmir to have white sheets. We'll just conclude, sometimes, given sometimes poskim remekel under certain extenuating circumstances where a woman's having difficulty becoming tahora to dispense with the requirement of tzivonim during Shiva Nikiyim. See, for example, Maharsham, Chelek Aleph, Simen, Pei Aleph. Rabbi Karp suggests, page Kuf Yizayah, that under the circumstances, better to wear light-colored tzivonim, then you could at least be marviach, the Sefer Truma, with the Taras HaShlamim, that you can see more on light-colored tzivonim than dark-colored tzivonim, but you still have kulas samim. Rabbi Willick says that as well. Rabbi Forrest has a kula from Vicheskel Roth, that maybe you should put a white tissue into the undergarments, so you have a kiyum on the minhag of levanim, but you'd have kulas ksamim because it's a davar she'eino mekabel tuma. Rabbi Willig thought that was unnecessary because the whole point of levanim is shehei dam nikerbo. It's not a din in lavan per se. Stop here, and next time we'll begin discussing Bidikos during Shiva Nikiyam, first Lechachila, and then Bidi Eved. Mar Mekomo Sheet 10 is out.